This week's eyewitness account is from the HIM team on how to safeguard the Master Patient Index. I guarantee you will want to hear this a second time. Let's listen in as Wendy Chestnut tells a true story of how care is impacted when the identification process goes wrong.
We had a patient come in that was actually a cancer patient being treated out of state. He lived outside of Monroe, but in Louisiana, and he came in through the ER. He had the same name, same date of birth. His middle initial was different, but very close. The address obviously was not verified. And this patient was admitted to a patient's record, actually from one of our sister hospitals out of town. And it occurred like on a Wednesday. HIM did not get the call until Sunday. And during this time period, they had tried to take the patient to surgery. The surgery was postponed because the anesthesiologist saw where in the record the patient was a diabetic. And the patient says, I'm not a diabetic. I've been telling them since I got here that this is not me. My wife has brought my driver's license in, etc. I'm a cancer patient, not a diabetic. And so they held off on the surgery at that time. And this continues. And on Monday, we're all here trying to cipher through it. And at this point, it was very, very mixed information in the chart. It was very difficult. Also, we learned quickly that information had already been sent to his third party payer automatically through Epic. We had to get compliance involved in that and case management and try to get that retrieved. He discharged in the next day or so, and we learned that the records had automatically also been sent to his primary care physician in his hometown. So they were not happy, and all of this occurred really fast and before we were intimately involved in the situation. And it was such a tangled record that when Laura started to do the chart correction process, there was no way for the physicians to truly identify what belonged to this patient that has now discharged and the owner of the incorrect record. So it took quite a bit of time, and I can tell you it never was really resolved.
Welcome to the Eyewitness Podcast. Join me as I zoom out to gain fresh perspective from the various eyewitness accounts of our team members across our organization. Grab your pen and pad so you don't miss a thing. Let's go.
Please introduce yourselves. Let us know what department you work in.
Good morning. My name is Cindy Robinson, and I'm the manager of centralized credentialing and health information management.
Hi, good morning. My name is Wendy Chestnut. I'm the director of medical staff services and health information management at St. Francis.
Good morning. My name is Loris Silas, and I'm a health information management specialist in health information management.
Okay, so we will just start with letting us know what the HIM department is, what you guys do on a daily basis, and how you guys impact the patient experience.
Okay, well, our department currently is made up of 8 employees, in addition to the leadership of me and Cindy. And we have one individual that is in charge of all birth certificates here at St. Francis. We have 2 ladies that do deficiency analysis and flags the discharge charts for any deficiencies that they may find, such as signatures, dictation, etc., is needed. We have a couple of ladies that work all of the ERs, and a lot of our ER paperwork is still on documentation and still on paper. And then we have a couple of specialists, such as Loris and Cindy, that handle different roles related to physician suspensions, where a lot of work used throughout Epic related to deficiencies and maybe things that need to be rerouted from one practitioner to another, maybe need to be administratively closed, etc. So they really are the hands behind the scene that are, you know, making the flow of the medical record, making sure it's complete. in a timely manner so that we meet all of our regulatory and compliance requirements, and we're able to code the chart, the diagnosis, and eventually drop the bill. We have a pretty quick turnaround time with all of that, and we're proud of our turnaround time within our organization and also at the health system level with the coding and the billing piece. So,
thank you, Wendy. Much of this is going to be about patient identity and how we safeguard the master patient index. So our role as patient access, of course, is to start the medical record. And if we do make an error with starting the medical record or, for instance, choose a duplicate medical record, can you guys tell us what the impact on the patient chart is for that? And maybe tell us what the difference between a chart correction is and a merge of records.
There can be a, you know, a patient impact, a financial impact, a delay in services, and then all of the time and effort that is put in on the back end from HIM in correcting these errors. So it is crucial that the patient identifiers are reviewed for each patient, and if you're not certain, then you should take a pause and try to reevaluate it, maybe get additional assistance to make sure you do admit that patient to the correct chart. I'm going to defer the steps and the additional impact specifically related on the back end of what happens to Laura Silas, as she's our staff member that tends all of that.
Identifying the three identifiers is the most important. When you don't have those three identifiers, or at least of the three identifiers, it's easier to create a new record and make the process easier to merge once we do locate the correct patient, as opposed to admitting the patient to someone else's account. That process creates what we call a chart contact move, and it's a lot more hectic than it would be if it was just a new chart created. So if the three identifiers are not identified, I would suggest creating a new record. But in some cases, they aren't identified and a new record is not created, so a patient is admitted to the wrong chart. And that's where I come into play with completing a chart contact move. I don't always have the information that I need for both the incorrect patient and the correct patient, so I have to reach out. There are sometimes where the contact move or the chart correction is placed within Epic, where let's just say the nurse in the ER identified that, hey, the patient was admitted to the wrong chart. Well, I'll have the incorrect patient information, but not the correct patient's information. Therefore, I cannot complete the chart contact move. So I'll reach out and say, hey, this is Laura's in HIM, and I'm trying to complete a contact move, but I need the correct patient's information. There are other times where it's not placed into Epic and a phone call is placed to medical staff with Ms. Wendy or Ms. Sandy and saying, hey, we got this that took place and we don't know if it's a merge or if it's a contact move. So we're still trying to find, exactly what's needed and what's taking place. If it's a situation where it's a merge, then our EMPI team comes into play and take care of the merges. And a merge is where a patient was admitted to one account, but they already have an account in Epic. So then, but it's the same patient. So a patient merge is created, completed, and done. Much easier process because it's on the same patient. But when it's a different patient, it's a lot more complicated. We've had where a contact move was needed on a critical patient that was in the hospital already. It's hard trying to get the clinical team out of a record because it's a critical patient. They're placing orders, they're having labs done, and I'm placing phone call after phone call after phone call saying, hey, can y'all please exit the chart? I'm trying to complete a contact move because two patients' records is in one patient's chart. So all of the information on that critical care patient It's for two people when it should be specifically just for that patient. And it's easier said than done, because if a clinical team is in that chart and they're documenting or they're placing an order that's needed or a blood transfusion, they can't just exit the chart. You know, they're working on the patient. They're having to get done what needs to be done at that moment. However, I'm on the back end still trying to get done what I need to get done overall for the patient care.
Thank you so much for that description, Loris, and for identifying the differences between a merge of records and a chart move to move critical information from one patient chart to another. So can you guys please let us know if we're not able to catch these errors in a timely manner, what impact that can have on the patient record as a whole, maybe getting medical records released to other key players in the patient's care, and any impact that you know of that this can have directly on the patient?
Well, there can certainly be a delay in care. There could be a medication error. Maybe they were admitted to a chart with a patient previously had a different diagnosis, and they were treated for that diagnosis, and they really did not have that. There also is the potential for release of information, because from the time the patient admits, there's often records going out to third-party payers that are automatically sent electronically through Epic without a human touch. They just go out based on the insurance. There's been times where maybe the patient has discharged and records are sent to the primary care physician for follow-up. And so anytime those records are released like that, then there's a whole nother, I guess I'll say a ball of wax created, because you have to then get into the compliance and the privacy issues.
I absolutely agree. I know sometimes it's difficult to retrieve three of those identifiers, especially with a critical patient that may not be able to say, hey, this is my name, this is how it's spelled, this is my date of birth, and this is my social security number. And they may not even always have identification on them for the paramedics either. So I would then say create a John or Jane Doe account, and it's easier to merge that record once we do have those identifiers than it would be to admit that patient on another patient's account.
Thank you guys so much. Do you have any information you would like to relay to our clinical staff, knowing that their main goal is to make sure they have an accurate history on the patient, to make sure that we're treating the patient as quickly and efficiently as possible? It's not always easy when your goal is, quick treatment for a patient, to stop and realize that it's not as easy to just change identifiers on a patient or to go ahead and merge a record together, that there's a bigger impact on the patient when we're trying to rush through or just completely circumvent that process altogether. So what would you say to our clinical staff? Any advice you have for them?
Well, in my opinion, because I've seen so many of these accounts come through that I myself had to correct, or if our EMPI team have had to correct, or if I've just simply sent an email to Lisa LeClaire to correct, is to never change any of the patient identifiers unless you are 100% sure. And I can't stress that enough, of saying 100% sure. Because I do get so many accounts where patient identifiers have been changed because a patient said, oh, yeah, my name is Cindy when my name is actually Cynthia. And they'll change their patient's name because that's like more so of a nickname and not their actual name. But that name may belong to another Cindy patient with that same date of birth. So I would not suggest changing the patient identifiers at all, unless you're exactly sure.
Thank you so much, Loris. Is there anything else you all would like to add as an identity team to break up the silos of patient communication. Anything else that you'd like to leave to any of our teams that would help us ease your burden as a team?
I think the best thing that, in my opinion, is as soon as they realize a mistake has been made, they need to reach out and start, you know, the process of getting that corrected, because the more information they put in there, the harder it is to get moved. And also, if they do question something, that they need, you know, they need to ask, because there's no stupid question. You know, they need to ask and try to get clarification, just to make sure they're following the process correctly, and to make sure that the patient is able to be treated appropriately by the information that's in the chart there.
What exactly does that process look like, Cindy? If we did register, in the example that Loris gave, if we registered Cindy, but she should have actually been Cynthia, and now we realize that we are documenting information in the incorrect patient chart, what does that process look like?
So the team member should actually put in a chart correction request. However, when they place the chart correction request, they need to make sure that they're putting in an adequate enough information for both the incorrect patient as well as the correct patient so that the process can begin. I've had some accounts where a chart correction request was placed, but it was placed by a team member on the night shift. And so when I called because I don't have enough information, well, that nurse or that team member is not working. So FYI, I do start early AM, which helps, so that I am able to contact some of the team members that work at night to be able to retrieve some of that information. But placing a chart correction request is very necessary and needed, but also placing an adequate amount of information for the HIM team to be able to identify both the incorrect and the correct patient.
Hey, Loris, is that chart correction request through Epic?
It is, okay. Yes. Everybody has access to that chart correction request.
Thank you.
So without having that information, there's no way to responsibly and accurately complete a contact move. Like, I will not move the incorrect patient's chart or information out of one chart into another chart just because my name is attached to that account. Everything that I touch and I do is going to reflect back on me. And if I don't make sure that I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's, then it could possibly fall back on me. And that's something I do not want. So I will not create or complete or even start a contact move without that information. Like, it's impossible, because I can risk moving the incorrect patient's information over to another patient's chart that's also not correct, which will cause an even bigger problem. However, the correct patient's account is not always accessible. Like, a new chart would have to be created for that clinical team member to be able to document on, if that was the case, if we wanted the clinical team to document on both the incorrect patient's chart as well as the correct patient's chart, a new account would have to be created. And that's done through, for the most part, patient access. I know we have like other team members that are able to do it, or other departments, shall I say, but I always reach out to patient access. And if that new chart has not been created, then no one can actually document on the correct patient until that part has been done.
So just to make sure that we have the process lined out, to make this as easy on your team as possible, when you say that you want us to create a new account, so we would create a new patient medical record number with the correct patient's identifiers, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you guys would like to say before we end the recording?
Everything we do impacts the next person. And so if they have any questions, feel free to ask, call. We're all here to help. And just please watch those patient identifiers on the front end and try to get the patient admitted to the correct record in order to avoid all of this on the back end.
Thank you again for shedding a little light on what your team does on a daily basis. We know that you guys are, you know, behind the scenes, and a lot of people don't even know what happens behind that that medical records door. But we know that you guys are one of the silent pillars that are holding us up on a daily basis. So really, really appreciate you guys and appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
I hope your knowledge base was elevated through today's eyewitness account. Remember, regardless of your area of expertise, optimal communication across roles is critical to peak performance in patient-centered care. For questions, comments, or suggestions, you can reach me at kimberly.hummel@fmolhs.org. Until next time, let's keep the conversation going.